Well, again, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here today. You know, I was trying to find a good knock-knock joke for 4th of July to celebrate it. But there are no good knock-knock jokes for the 4th of July because freedom rings. So it didn't work out. Well, you know, we did just, as a country, celebrate an incredible milestone, right? 250 years, you know, 2.5 centuries, generations of Americans who have paused on these days, on this day, to remember who we are and where we came from and the ideals with which our nation was founded. Now, every country in the world has some sort of defining document. You know, we as Americans, we have the Declaration of Independence, we have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But these are not the documents that make us American. They are the ones that tell us what we believe and what we value. These documents remind us of our identity, and they ground us in a shared story. And in every generation, there are debates as to what these particular documents mean and how they should be applied. But no one doubts their significance. They're foundational because they answer a very important question. Who are we? Who are we? And as our nation celebrates 250 years of remembering its story, perhaps it's a good time for the church to remember ours as well. You know, so today, beginning for the next 9 weeks, we're going to be going over the Apostles' Creed, you know, something that we will often say together. But today I want to focus on two simple words. I believe. Two simple words. They have the power to shape an entire life. These two words express more than an opinion. You know, we use the phrase, I believe, all the time. I believe it's going to rain. I believe this team is going to win. I believe that this is the best restaurant in town. Usually when we say, I believe, what we mean is, this is my opinion. But when the Bible speaks about believing, it means something so much deeper. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, biblical faith is more than agreeing with a set of facts. It is more than an intellectual assent. Belief is trust. It's confidence. It's reliance. You know, you can believe a chair exists, but genuine trust is demonstrated when you sit down on it and place the full weight of your body on it. Christian faith is placing the full weight of our life on Jesus Christ. Because when we do that, we're trusting Jesus with our past, our present, and our future. We're trusting Jesus with our sins. We're trusting Jesus with our failures. We're trusting Jesus with our eternity. The Apostles' Creed begins with, I believe, because Christianity is not merely some philosophy to be admired or a set of ideals to be discussed. Christianity is a relationship of trust with the living God. One of the problems today is that many people have reduced faith to mere opinions. Right? I believe in God. I believe in prayer. I believe that I'm a good person. But none of these statements necessarily mean that a person has entrusted themselves to Christ. Because the issue isn't simply if we know about God, it's whether or not we trust in him. And what are you trusting in today? Are you trusting your bank account? Are you trusting your abilities or your retirement plan or your health? Are you trusting a political party or your reputation? Because all of those things can disappear in a moment. But when the Christian says, I believe, they are saying, I place my trust in the one who never changes. And perhaps that's why the creed begins with a singular pronoun, I believe. Right? Not my parents believe, or my spouse believes, but I believe. I think one of the dangers of growing up in a church is that we can borrow someone else's faith. You know, I grew up in a Christian family, and so of course I'm a Christian. But there comes a moment in everyone's life where they must answer the question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am? And John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was an Anglican priest. He had religion, he had knowledge, he had good works. But when he was confronted with his own death, he knew that all he had was a bunch of head knowledge, that his faith hadn't become personal to him. The creed begins with, I believe, because faith cannot be inherited. It must be embraced. Now, so where do we get to the point, or we have to get to the point where we say, this is my faith. And are we able to say that today? Again, one of the problems with when we say my faith, we begin to think it's only for me. That my faith is private, right? I don't share my faith. That's not what we do. And while the truth is that faith is personal, it was never meant to be private. The creed begins with, I believe, but it was always intended to be spoken together. For nearly 2,000 years, Christians have gathered in sanctuaries, in homes, in cathedrals, in fields, and have confessed these same words. They say them together in community. When we speak the Apostles' Creed, we're joining our voices with believers from every continent and every century. We stand beside the early Christians who risked their lives to follow Jesus. We stand beside believers who worship secretly because of persecution. We stand with the saints who have gone on before us. And we stand beside the global church today. Because the creed reminds us that Christianity is bigger than any one of us. It's bigger than our preferences. It's bigger than our denomination. It's bigger than our generation. We belong to something that began long before us, and by God's grace will continue on long after us. There is nothing in the New Testament that speaks of isolated Christianity. But when the Bible does speak of the body of Christ, it talks about something so much bigger than a private faith. It talks about the family of God or the communion of saints because we need each other. We worship together. We pray together. We serve together. We bear one another's burdens. And we encourage one another in faith. One of the great gifts of the creed is that it reminds us that we are not alone, that this faith didn't start with me. It didn't start with us. Because there are days when our faith will feel weak, or questions arise, or grief threatens to overtake. There are days simply when life just doesn't make any kind of sense. And it's on those days that the church says, we believe with you. Because it is the faith of the community that helps to carry us until we can believe again. It's one of the most beautiful gifts of the church. You know, Jude wrote these words, I have found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Now, what does it mean to contend? It doesn't mean to start. It doesn't mean to invent a new faith. We're not called to update our faith to fit into the world around us. Jude tells us to contend for it, to stand up for it, to represent our faith because we have been entrusted with it. An entrusted faith is a precious gift. It's something valuable. It's something to be guarded and to be passed on. Now think about what's been handed to us. Generation after generation has preserved the gospel. Believers have endured persecution, imprisonment, and even death because they believed that these truths mattered. Missionaries have crossed oceans because they believed that this truth mattered. Parents have taught their children because they believe these truths mattered. Pastors preached and saints prayed because they believed that these truths mattered. And now it is our turn. We have received the faith. And how are we going to pass it on? You know, as we celebrate 250 years of independence, perhaps the church needs to remember or should remember that our faith begins with a declaration of dependence, that we declare that we cannot save ourselves, that we cannot overcome the weight of our sin alone, that we can't carry the weight of life by ourselves, that we believe, that we trust, that we rely, that we surrender. That we say that we depend upon God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son and then the Holy Spirit. And over the next 9 weeks, we're going to walk through this ancient creed together. And we're going to rediscover what Christians have believed for centuries. But today, it begins with two simple words. I believe. And so let me ask you, what do you truly believe? Where have you placed your trust? Can you say with heart and conviction that I believe? Not because your parents believed, not because your church believes, not because it's tradition, but because you have entrusted your life to Jesus Christ. My prayer is that over these next several weeks, that this ancient creed will become something more than words that we recite. It may become the confession of our hearts. May it shape our mind. May it strengthen our faith. May it unite us together as God's people. And may we together be able to stand and say with joy and confidence, I believe. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for the men and women of faith who have gone before us. And Lord, for this creed that was written so long ago. We are thankful. Thankful, Lord, that you inspired people of faith to declare what we believe together. Not as Methodists or Baptists or Presbyterians or Catholics or Lutherans, but what do we believe together? Jesus, we pray that you would enable us to say it loudly and to say it boldly. And to say it with confidence, that I believe. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. And so as we come together this morning to receive communion today, let me ask you, and this, Mark, this is where we have the thank you. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
And do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It's a curious thing about saying we believe, because our belief is anchored in something that happened so far in the past and something that is going to happen in the future. When we say we believe, we are surrounded by what God has done, what God is doing, and God, what God will do. I believe. Two simple words. Let us pray. Again, gracious God, thank you so very much for how you have blessed us, how you have equipped us, how you've called and how you've sent us. And so, Jesus, remind us that we are yours, that we are your hands and your feet, we who say that we believe. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Next week, we're going to be celebrating Bud's ordination. It is happening after both services. So after this service, next week, we'll be celebrating Pastor Bud's ordination. After 11 o'clock service, we'll be celebrating Pastor Bud's ordination. Everything will be happening over in Bethany Hall, all the celebrations. But we'll also be recognizing him in service next week. So I invite you to come out and be a part of that. All right, everybody. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.